Hey, everybody. Thank you for stopping by for Find the Funny. This is a special episode. It's just me because we need to talk about what happened during my comedy special. It's going to be a very candid disclosure of everything that happened last night.
Well, this is my mom, Nellie.
Yay, yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name.
As most of you know, I taped a special in Chicago, August 3rd. I taped two shows on me because this is how the industry works. When I did the HBO special, I was paid a certain amount of money. It did really well. It got really great reviews. And then HBO was like, you know what? We want to give you another special, but we're just going to give you this much more. If you're not a huge celebrity, that's what they do. They pay you a lot smaller fee. And honestly, to develop 30 minutes of material, you have to test it on the road over and over and over. That means you have to do it over 50 shows to get it right. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I just tape my own special? I've done it before, and then I'll sell it on my own.
When you're pregnant, it's so bizarre because people will actually touch your stomach in public without your permission. It's like they're drawn to it like a magnet. It's so weird. They want to touch it like it's a crystal ball. And they always ask the same questions. Are you going to find out the sex of the baby? What are you going to name it? Do you know who the father is? Do you? Because that would help.
So here I've hired a great production company to team up with. They'll take the special and they'll go and shop it. Hopefully it sells. If it doesn't sell, guess what? You're going to be watching it on YouTube. I'm going to break it up into a million pieces and everybody's going to get to see it anyway. Because I want to get the content out there. I worked this hard to write all these new jokes over the past couple years. I want you to see it. So I'm a person of faith. When you're doing something that you're supposed to do, that I feel like God has for you, it's amazing how many things happen to stop you in your tracks. The first thing that was really hard for me is my mom has been sick. She's in her 80s, and I know that I'm blessed to have my mom with me still. And but the past few years, she's been dealing with an autoimmune disease that is just super painful. And so she's been dealing with this to the point where she can't travel. So she couldn't come back to our hometown, the city that I was born, to watch me do my special. So what I wanted to do was have her and I have a conversation on an iPad or FaceTime before I went on stage, because I needed my mom's encouragement and was dedicating this to her. So the fact that she couldn't come was one thing. We get to the venue, which is The Den, which is an amazing theater, amazing staff. This was completely out of their control. The Wi-Fi goes out. Comcast is just down. So we can't wirelessly connect to my mom. I can't have a conversation with my own mother beforehand. So we're scrambling trying to figure out, is someone's cell signal have enough bars that we can actually connect? My mom doesn't know how to do FaceTime. She's 88, you know? So we're like scrambling. And then I finally end up getting my mom on the line, and we did have a fantastic discussion, which who knows if it was even shot right or if it even recorded properly, because we had to run and gun. The next thing that happened is a couple weeks ago, I found out that my dog has stage 4 cancer, and she's just the cutest little dog that we adopted maybe 3 years ago, had her through the pandemic. We're really close to her, and now we're fighting this big drug company that we believe not necessarily gave her cancer, but whatever she had accelerated it, because she got really ill as soon as she took Cytopoint and other medication from the same company. So now we're fighting them to help pay for some of the treatment for the dog. So while I'm taping a special, I have to think about chemo for a dog. So,
yeah.
I mean, that hit me hard. It's my mom and then now my little dog. And then so I'm trying not to be super emotional. So I'm like, okay, keep it together. Everything's going to be okay. The dog's not going to die while you're gone. She's going to hang on. You're going to get home. Everything's going to be okay. So I get to Chicago. I'm supposed to tape an interview on WGN.
Hi, how
are you?
Good to
see you.
All right, that's a clip from Chicago's Latin Queen of Comedy.
The interview goes great. I have a wonderful time. My friends are like, oh, we're going to record it. We're going to watch it. The network goes down. So thousands and thousands of people are supposed to be watching this promo to get butts in seats for the next night. And I worked so hard to get this interview and it went great. And literally, what was it? DirecTV?
Yeah.
DirecTV, they're in a feud with the station for money. And so because they haven't come to an agreement, it's almost like the union strike with the actors and the writers. It's like they're striking. We're not going to work. So they just decide to cut the show. So all my friends that were supposed to tune in, the only way you could watch it was online. And 90% of the people didn't know. They just went to tune in to watch the show. And it's a black screen going, we're sorry, we cannot show this. So there, my mom, my dog, now the WGN thing. So then we get to the venue. It's beautiful. They did the background like I like it. You know, it's nice and cool in there. We start getting set up for the show. We're doing two shows. What they do is Sarah Lisbisa, who is my magician of an editor and best friend, she will piece together the best of the two shows. That's how comedy specials are shot. The first show, probably 5 or 10 minutes into the show, the AC in the building goes out. Because the internet was down, and because the internet was down, their AC is programmed by Wi-Fi. So when the internet went down, the AC cut off and no one realized. It just kept getting hotter and hotter. And here I am in a jacket, jeans, boots, massive lights coming at me. You know, the lights are so hot anyway, but when the AC's cranking, it's not that big a deal. People, it's a Thursday night. People are tired. They came from work. They drove 2 hours to see me. So I see people in the audience doing this. Like, I see this, oh, wow. And everybody seems tired, and no one sees that from the back of the room because I'm looking at directly at their face. But everybody, the camera crew, they're in the back, so they don't see people going like this. And then I notice beads of sweat, and my bra is wet with sweat. Or is it just me having a hot flash? Am I just getting old? What the hell is going on? Like, the whole, my hair is, like, literally sticking to the side of my face. My balls are on the side of my leg. They're just smashed. What do I do? What do I do? Is anybody else feeling this? And then I finally had to address it.
I'm going to take a break for a second, and I need Michelle to grab me a towel because I'm sweating really fucking bad. Look at, what? Did you bring this from Carpentersville? What happened?
I had a spill, but it didn't get used.
Oh, all right. Oh, this feels so much better. Oh my gosh. Excuse me. You want it for $5? Okay.
So when you're on stage as a comedian, you have to think of 10 different things at the same time. What's my next joke? Did I tag this properly? Are all the things that I wanted to say about this piece in there? How's the timing? How's their reaction? Do I say something about the sweat? Why is this guy heckling me? All of these things are going on in a comedian's head, but you got to make it look organic. Like, you're just saying it off the top of your head. Well, guess what? We write material, okay? Yes, I speak off the top of my head, but not during a special because we are taping a special and I need a certain amount of jokes per minute in a special. So as I'm sweating, much like right now, let me just... this is real life right now. And so I literally go, is anybody else, I'm like, I have to stop for a second. Is anybody else feeling this? The whole audience is like, yeah, it's hot as fuck in here. So it wasn't just me. It wasn't my imagination. I go, where is the AC? I'm on stage during my special. And I'm like, where is the AC? What happened? And then 2 seconds later, boom, I hear the AC come on. So obviously the employees didn't know that it had automatically shut off. But by this point, it was already like 80, 85 degrees in the room. Everybody's sweating. And you can't do comedy in a sweaty room. People get crabby. They disconnect. They get sleepy. And they're not going to laugh. They're paying attention to the fact that they can't breathe. And I couldn't breathe. So we have to stop the show after having this great start. I had to stop the show, dab off all of the sweat, hope that my makeup is not smeared all over my face. I don't have time to redo my hair. So I walk backstage. There's the makeup artist. And I'm like, do what you can. she's like dabbing me with everything she's got, you know, towels, paper towels, trying not to smear my hair. I'm like, okay, we're good. Let's go. So the air is on. It starts to get cooler. But the effect of what happened lingered for a while. I had to like work to get them back, which you don't want to do during a special.
Right.
The great thing is that a lot of my friends came out that I grew up with, like high school friends and people that I met growing up in Chicago, which is why I wanted to tape here, is because like this is where I started. This is where everybody supported me at first. So let's do it back home. I had no idea that sometimes people who don't go to see comedy regularly at a comedy club, they don't know how to be audience members. So one of my good friends from high school starts heckling me through my whole set. Not heckling me like, you suck, but heckling me like saying things while I'm speaking like, yeah, or I know what you're talking about. What people don't know is that when you speak while I'm speaking, the whole room is mic'd. So everybody is being picked up. We need the audio for the special. So he was in the front chair. There's a mic in front of his face. So it was like he was doing stand-up and I was doing stand-up. And I was like, shut up, dude, shut up. The host, which was Jeannie Dugan, which crushed it. She's so professional, so funny, such a talented comedian. I've had her start. She did both of my specials out here in Chicago. That's how good she is. I love her. But she told them at the top of the set, please do not, don't yell things out. This is a comedy special. This is a taping. Everything's being recorded.
Keep your energy up. If Lisa asks you a question, feel free to answer. Have fun. But don't yell out random shit. This isn't improv, right? We're not going to ask for suggestions. But I'm excited to see you guys here. Round of applause for yourself again. Let's make some noise. This guy's already drunk. What the hell? How did that happen? You've been in here for 15 minutes and he's drunk already.
Yep.
All right, this we love.
Train ride down.
And everybody's like, of course. And then this dipshit in the front row, literally that I grew up with, is like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And he thinks in his mind that he's helping the show. So I hope that everybody tuning in that's listening or that's watching on YouTube knows, don't fucking do that. You're not helping the show. Okay? We know what we're doing. Here's your job. Laugh, shut up. Laugh, shut up. That's it. Even when you go on a date with me, it's laugh, shut up. Laugh, shut up. Okay? I don't know how to get this across to audiences. Comedians don't like groans. We don't like you yelling shit out. In a normal setting, if you yell something out, as a comic, I'll destroy you, okay? That's what we do with hecklers. But during a taping, I don't want to spend 5 minutes doing that with this guy because I need to get a certain amount of jokes in. That was my dilemma. But I did stop the show 3 times and literally told him to his face, shut the fuck up. It was unfortunate. I mean, and the audience backed me. They applauded. But that's not what I want in the special.
Right.
I want the jokes that I worked on so hard on the road, being away from my family and my friends, sacrificing not having a relationship because I'm never home, for this special. It's my goal. So that was another thing that happened. On the second show, it was better. It was a lighter audience because I didn't know that I was choosing to do a special the same weekend that Lollapalooza was in Chicago.
Right.
The biggest music festival of the year in summer. No one wants to be inside in summer in Chicago because it's beautiful out. You got the lake, you got things to do. All the restaurants have outdoor seating. Why would they go inside a comedy club? That's why they call it summer money when you're in the Midwest. No one wants to fill up a comedy club, okay? Because they want to be outdoors at festivals and the Taste of Chicago and all of these things. So I book my special on one of the busiest outdoor weekends, and there was a Cubs game.
Oh, my gosh, really?
There was a Cubs game. Yeah.
Oh,
it,
wow.
It was like every single thing that could get an audience. So I had to work really hard to get people to pack out both shows. So the second show was great. It was a little lighter, but they were into it. Yeah. They had more energy. They were younger. They were drinking. They were ready to go. So that show went better. But the things that happened with that is I didn't get all the shots that I needed, that I wanted, because it's very hard to direct when you're on the stage and I can't see the screen. So there's people back there. When I normally work a set, I don't know if you've ever seen any of my sets, but usually when you watch me, even when I'm taping a special, I will have my notes on the chair because I had a really bad concussion and I had this accident. I lost a lot of my memory and I just have my short term's really bad. And the doctor's like, you may not get that back fully. Well, I didn't. So I don't even know what the show is called. I always have my notes on the chair. I don't always look at them. Sometimes I just look to get a word or two in, to just go, okay, that's the next bit. I know what I'm going to say, but I just need to know what's next or make sure I don't forget a new tag that I wrote on the end of that joke. So I said, the directors were like, let's keep the stage clean because they'll see the notes. So let's just keep the stage clean. We'll just put water bottles up there. I'm like, okay, then I need a teleprompter because I need them to be listed. Well, when you're not used to working with a teleprompter and you don't want to, it's a skill, man. These late night talk show hosts that do these teleprompters, it's unbelievable because they look at it and their eyes don't shift. Their face doesn't shift because they're well trained and they do it every day. So they're not just speaking, they're reading right word for word off a teleprompter. So I don't have that skill because I don't use a teleprompter every day. And it was scrolling. So when you're blind and you have dyslexia, and the thing was scrolling, I'm like, what's going on? How I can't get the words. So this thing is scrolling and I'm like, where am I? What's going on? And I knew that on camera, I was going to look like I'm doing that. So I didn't want that on my special. So I just tried to go off of memory. And then I would occasionally look over and I was like, yeah, that's not where I'm at anyway. The scroll wasn't
working. Yeah.
And it wasn't their fault. It's because I don't work that way. I get stuff. I know where I'm going to go off of this sheet. And then I talk with the audience. But comedy specials are different. It's not about improv. It's about jokes per minute.
Right.
So I have to stay on track. So then what happened is I almost passed out on stage.
Yeah.
This really happened, okay? And the reason is because when you're on stage, the lights are very hot on you, okay? And I had already done a show. My nerves are shot because I knew that we didn't get all the shots that we needed in the first show. And also, I got heckled through most of the first show, which ruined a lot of the jokes, a lot of setups and punchlines because this guy kept talking. And I knew his voice was being... So I was really upset. So then we go into the second show. I forgot to eat.
Yeah.
All day in like a 14 or 16 hour span, the only thing I had was coffee and a banana.
Oh my God.
So I'm on stage and I'm speaking and the lights hit me probably 10, 15 minutes into my set. And I'm like, I feel my legs getting weak. I'm like, I'm going to pass out. I literally was like, I lost my place on the thing. And I'm like, I'm going to faint. Like I felt, you know how you feel when you're, if you've ever fainted, you get this like, almost like a dizziness, weakness thing, almost a nausea. And then I was like, I just realized all I ate was a banana. And maybe we'll take that clip and we'll actually show it to you someday.
Yeah.
Once we get the footage. But this really happened. So here I am, like, I'm going to pass out during my own special. So that happened. And then we got through it. It was good. I went out. I got some other audience reaction shots that we needed. And I mean, all in all, everybody worked really hard. This is why I know that I was supposed to shoot this special.
Yeah.
Because of all the things that went wrong prior to the special happening.
Woo.
Just tells me more and more that I was actually supposed to do it. Like that if I can endure through all of these attacks and things that happened to hurt the special and to hurt the outcome of this, that's how you endure. That's how you rise above and do your purpose. So I guess in all of this, I learned a lot to just focus on the positive. I had so many people, like if you were one of those people, thank you so much for reaching out. I had so many text messages, phone calls, messages on Instagram. Well, my Instagram got
That's
hacked.
Another one.
My Instagram got hacked. That's another thing that happened 2 days prior, which I need my Instagram following to fill seats. And people were asking, like, where is the thing, whatever. And then they can't reach me. People that I was trying to get on the guest list, all of a sudden, I'm not giving my number out to everybody. So my Instagram is now gone. It's disappeared. And so now follow me on YouTube, Lisa Alvarado Comedian, because hopefully that will never disappear. What the hell, Instagram? Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I recorded it. I told them I was hacked. I proved who I was. They make you do this video thing on Instagram to prove who you are. I did that. I did all of the things. And they're like, sorry, your account is permanently disabled. So,
yeah,
Instagram.
Exactly.
Kiss my sweet flat ass, okay? Yeah, I've had it with them.
Yeah.
But all in all, I really still feel blessed. I still feel the love of so many people. Sarah, my best friend, who's my editor, she flew out to do this, to run the cameras in the back. Like, she was just back there with a headset going, we need this, we need that. My best friend, Carmela Jenkins, flew out from California just to be here. And my other best friend, Dave Kerr, literally built from scratch the stage lights. It was a circular stage, so he had to go to the den, measure it out, buy the equipment, cut the wood, get the perfect color light bulbs. He went so far. He spent hours and hours of his time working a full-time job that is not carpentry to do this for me. Mike Burton, who's a comic in Chicago, brought a bunch of guys to my set. Who else came? We had Dave Kerr. We had, Bill Gorgo.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just my buddy. He's such a great comedian. But I've known him for like 25 years. And he's a Chicago staple. Like, everybody knows Bill Gorgo. He's been doing comedy for, 40 years? He's just got such a big heart. He, you know, sent it out to everybody that he knew. He came to the 9:15 show, slept through half of it because he's old. I did see him go a couple times during my, but he was there and he brought somebody. Oh, my gosh, I love him. Jeannie Dugan killed it. I mean, she was just amazing, and she was present, and she was encouraging. My friend Nikki brought her family. Oh my gosh, there's so many people that I have to say thank you, and I appreciate you. People that couldn't come, there's people look, I got these flowers from a fan backstage, which was beautiful and helped, like, made me feel loved and cared for. Oh, and this is one of my favorite things ever. Check this out. This girl, Tracy, that I went to high school with, she made this.
That's so
by
incredible.
Hand. This is me. She made this. Look at it.
Sexy lips.
She gave me cleavage. It's like, my boobs aren't that high, but I love it. Push-up bra right there. I mean, look at the lips. Look at the detail. Like, she gave me, I think that's a dildo. It looks like a dildo with a tail. I don't know. Everything. It's just so, even my colors, because I always wear red on stage. If you see me tape a special, I almost always have red somewhere. And I just, she gave this to me after the show. So many people showed love. And thank you so much for everybody that encouraged me, that prayed for me. I learned a lot. it was a good experience, even though all of these things went wrong. I think we're still going to sell it. And if not, I know that it's something I'm still proud of. I'm still proud of the jokes that I got to say in front of my friends and in front of fans and people that came out to support. The most important thing that I wanted to focus on was just loving those people in the audience and making them laugh and making them think less about their problems in life, you know? That's why I do this podcast. It's called Find the Funny. And that's why I talk about the things that I talk about, so we can find the funny in the hard things in life. And my mom giving me full-on permission to be full picante during the show and go edgy and say whatever I want and be funny and the people will love it was the encouragement that I needed too, especially from a woman, you know?
Go and see my daughter Lisa Alvarado. But do what I do all the time. They see it. I put diapers because I laugh a lot and I peel my pants.
If you can subscribe on Lisa Alvarado Comedian on YouTube, that would mean the world, because fuck Instagram. I don't even think I get my name back. I think Lisa Alvarado Comedian is no longer available on Instagram. So I don't even know if I'm going to go back on or not, but you can find me on Facebook. But the big one is YouTube, because I'm going to keep you guys posted. So please, any questions that you have about the special or about anything else or comedy related, just put in the comments, because let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, ask me more questions about behind the scenes of taping a special, and I'll be honest, because why not? You know what I mean?
Right.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You're the reason I get to do what I do, because I would be talking to nobody if you weren't interested in this. Same thing with an audience. Like, thank you for coming out to my shows. Thank you for supporting live stand-up comedy. This is my dream. And you, literally you, are helping it to come true. So I am super grateful. I am so happy that you're spending time with me. Definitely subscribe. Tell your friends, share a clip, and I will see you soon in 2 weeks. Love you guys. 2 weeks. Find the funny on a Tuesday. I'll see you back. Bye.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing with her, because she is very funny.